from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Let's go check in with the homegirl all the way on the East Coast. I was in her land, Trista Crick. What's going on at BetMGM tonight?
You were in some places that you felt like you shouldn't have been.
Well, you know, I had to get through there. I said, you know what, let me get on through there. That's not where the wedding was, but we had to get through there to get to the wedding and then to get back home. So it was great. I enjoyed my time out there. I always do. I love the DMV. I ended up going to I went to the National Harbor yesterday.
Oh, you did? That's literally 8 minutes from me.
Really? Oh, well, you high rolling then.
You should have told me.
You high rolling. Yeah, I didn't. My aunt, she took us there. We didn't know where we was going or whatever. But because we flew out of Dulles, so we did a little time in D.C. But the National Harbor is phenomenal. That MGM casino is phenomenal. And oh man, Trista, man. So this is crazy. Me and my aunt, we would play some bets. You know, I can't imagine. Somebody's got to explain something to me here in the great state of California. How we don't have this situation. I just walked up to that BetMGM little sportsbook area. I said, oh, the Guardians and the Rockies and the Reds. And I want to take the over. And boom, 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 boom. We was in there. How? Look, man, there's got to be so much money to be made. How did they punt on this situation? I don't know. Is it up this November or is it up on the ballot? I haven't seen anything, so I doubt it. But how does California not have that situation?
I think the main reason, and I'm glad that you got to experience that, because when you see it, you're like, it's just that seedy.
No seedy offshore site, you know, put your picks in .cu. You know what I mean? I don't have to do that. Like, oh, man, it was crazy. It was crazy.
You don't have to worry about, like, multiple people Venmoing you. Jorge Posada sends you $37. James Bragg.
I don't need to go through AliExpress to get my money and all that. Yeah, I don't need to do all that. It was right there. I can imagine what that place looks like on a Saturday or Sunday for football. It's just, come
on. And we do shows from there every Monday during the NFL season.
Man.
So that's where we are, right in that kind of VIP zone where that big bar is.
Yeah.
All the TVs.
It's very
are.
Nice, that's where, too. That's a nice casino. Nice. Yeah.
Really nice.
And it's obviously, I've been to Vegas, so I know what that's like going to Vegas. But it just feels different when it feels like you're not in Vegas and you can do that. It's just, that was my biggest take. That might have been my biggest takeaway of the whole weekend. How did we not let this happen? We got to come together, California. We got to make this happen. I need that.
Well, and the problem is that there's like a bunch of Native American contingencies that don't want to lose the revenue from going to the casinos on the reservation. And so
there's so much
you
got to
pass out the guap, baby, and let them have some of that.
I can't imagine. There's so much money. I just $15. Just that. It's whatever. It took about 2 minutes. $15. Let me put a little parlay here, a little parlay there. $15. It's whatever. They're just right there. How much money is being made on a daily, on a weekly basis? And this this was July. I can't imagine. Like I said, when football start, oh my goodness. Yeah.
It's enough to get you to want to come out for a weekend.
I know. I got to, next time I'm out there, because I was all over the DMV. Next time I'm out there, I got to link up with my girl, Trista Crick, man. We got to do it. But there was big news out here in SAC. While I was gone, I was following the whole thing. Our guy, Damian Barling, was on it from the start. He was locked in the whole time, and then it finally happened. DeMar DeRozan going to the Sacramento Kings. Just your initial thoughts.
I think what I said when it first broke, which is this is just huge for the city because there were so many teams that DeMar could have gone to. He could have gone back and stayed with Chicago. And he at one point said that's what he wanted to do. The Clippers were right there. They obviously need to continue to build up their coffers, go back home, back to L.A. You've got the Lakers who have been sort of knocking on the door for a while to try to make that partnership happen. And he thought he was going to be a Laker before the Bulls deal went down.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that those options were all there and that it was him choosing the Kings and saying, this is where I want to be.
Yeah.
And getting the full deal done and knowing that he's going to be there for 3 years. That's just huge for the culture of the town, right. Huge for the franchise. And it shows that people want to play there.
Right. Nah, facts. 100%. We just had the introductory press conference live on the show. And there's something that, you know, I started to like watch different interviews with DeMar DeRozan and just hear him talk. He was on The Pivot. He was on Paul George's podcast and just get more familiar with him, right? And one of the takeaways I got from just listening to him speak, very, very disciplined athlete, man. You know what I'm saying? And then he got into this press conference and he was talking and it just, you could see it on full display. Just discipline. And I'm big on that, right? Like I strive to be as disciplined in my professional career and my personal life as DeMar DeRozan. I use the example of Kendrick Lamar, how disciplined he is. And I feel like the whole time we were talking about Kuzma, who I really like, Lauri Markkanen, who I really like, Brandon Ingram, who I like those guys as players. But it feels like what DeMar DeRozan can bring to this franchise, and you mentioned bring to the city as far as the toughness, the discipline and everything, it kind of feels like a perfect fit for what the Kings are looking to do.
Yeah, and I think people don't really realize because they're not watching a lot of Kings games. Yeah. Harrison was on his way out, right? Like, and that's nothing. That's nothing negative about HB. We loved the positive moments that came from HB's time.
Yes.
But when he got his extension last summer, we knew that this was not a long-term thing. There were plenty of people who thought he might get let go for another wing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that contract to move. So HB production-wise is a roller coaster.
Mm.
Sometimes you can get 25 out of them. Sometimes you can get 4 out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you never really know. You can't pencil it in. But with DeMar, you can. So regardless of DeMar's lack of three-point shooting, which is the reason that I think that the trade and the deal is getting somewhat killed, is because of that, and they're like worried about spacing. I think it's been clutch time shooting when De'Aaron Fox is getting blitzed and double team that's been lacking. And like, we love Malik. We're so happy to have Malik back. But there are times where Malik's a little wild out there as well, and he doesn't have it going. And if De'Aaron's getting all the attention and Malik doesn't have it on that particular night, now you've got someone who's always going to have it to the tune of at least 20, 25 points per game.
Yes.
And that's really helpful.
Yeah. And one of the things that I look at in that situation is, you know, that usually I just use the OKC, for example, right? Like, there you go. Got to get back in focus. Now she's not in focus. Now she got to get back in focus. Now we going to get her there.
Come on. What's happening?
We gonna get her there, cause she's got that ultra 4K when it's locked in. Right now, it's not locked in. Your camera is not disciplined right now. That's the issue.
No, it's not. It's more Kevin Herter than DeMar DeRozan.
Kevin Herter. Oh, no. We got to figure out what
we're
doing.
Come on, baby. Let's go. What's happening here?
But as Trista gets that together, I'll explain to her one of the things I'm thinking about. Like, I take, like, just randomly a team, like playoff team, like OKC or whatever the case may be. And usually late in games, it's winning time. They'll be like, all right, Lou Dort, you go guard De'Aaron Fox. Lou Dort is a problem. You know, he'll go out there and he'll make it a tough fourth quarter for De'Aaron Fox. Well, now you say, there we go. Now you say, Lou Dort, go guard De'Aaron Fox. We'll be like, oh, all right, well, let's just get the ball 15 feet from the basket to DeMar with SGA guarding him. And SGA is a great defender, but DeMar, he's too small for DeMar. You know what I mean? And then you say, all right, well, now we can't do that. We're going to put Jalen Williams on him. He'll work on Jalen Williams. And then we'll put SGA on Monk. Who's going to guard Monk? And then you got to worry about that man 13 hanging out in the corner. You can't just leave him open no more. I think, and you tell me if I'm doing too much, but I think this offense could potentially be dynamic like it was a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think that's right. I also think that people don't really see what DeMar has done for even a team like San Antonio. He was playing four on small four. He was playing small ball five in San Antonio. Not saying that that's what he's going to do on a night-to-night basis, but he can operate in the post. He can play all over the floor. He can play two through five, really. Yeah. And he's a really good playmaker. So I think that versatility offensively is going to really help. And you're right. Having four guys in winning time that you need to put your best defender on is huge.
Mm-hmm.
The big question mark is when the league is getting big and jumbo, right? We've got teams like Minnesota where everybody's 6'7" and above and multiple 7-footers. Same thing with Dallas. How will the Kings defensively hold up? Because if you're like second in the league in offense and 12th, 10th in the league in defense, I think you're fine. But if you're like 7th in the league in offense and like 22nd in defense, then we're kind of in the similar spot that we were last year. And then you have to wait, hope for everyone to be completely healthy and to have no lapses at any point in time during the season where we've got those little moments of like, oh, this is a bad slump.
Trista Crick, the Heat Check podcast, the real Heat Check podcast. Bet MGM's and I, you hear that right here on ESPN 1320 every night as well. I feel you on that. But see, I feel like Minnesota, obviously Boston. I think New York is kind of trending towards that way. But those are the only teams that are kind of there right now as far as like, man, this super big lineup, like how do you match up or whatever.
Denver as well.
Denver, yes. What are they going to do without KCP?
That's a big one. That's a big loss.
Yeah.
They're probably going to get Russ.
I like that for Russ. I like Russ a lot. You know, that's my guy or whatever. I got two eyes. Now I got glasses. I see the deficiencies.
Are those glasses for real or are those glasses for show?
No, they for show. You know, I found some specs that look good. The crazy thing about it, Trista, is I need glasses. But I got the little fake glasses first. But I'm going to get my optometrist. I'm going to get my appointment, and then I think I'm going to get, like, the Malcolm X glasses, like the black with the clear underneath. You know, that's what I'm going to go with right now, this sophisticated look. But
I can amplify.
Yeah, but I got two eyes. I see Russ hitting the side of the backboard. I see him hitting the top of the backboard. I see all that. I understand. But I still feel like he can bring a lot to a team like Denver. So I think that'd be a good look. I don't know what that defense is going to look like with Russ, though.
Yeah, that's a big – I mean, Russ had one of his best defensive seasons last year. And, yeah, he's undersized. He could probably operate a little like Bruce Brown. That's kind of how I bet they want to use him. He's stocky. He's versatile. He's not a great shooter. Bruce Brown was a very streaky shooter. Yeah, I'm interested to see how this West looks. Like Memphis has gotten better. I think they're going to be fascinating to watch.
What'd you think about Zach Edey last night?
He looked good. I bet Zach Edey to have 14 or more rebounds at plus 550.
Damn.
And they went to overtime off of his tip.
Yeah.
And I think he had 15 rebounds in overtime.
That's why you're a professional. That's why you see these things. I bet I was right there. Me and my Aunt Cheryl, big ups to her, man. We said Sixers to win, and then I went under on the points, and they obliterated the over on that Sixers.
Yeah,
I think it was
Sixers
Thunder. So what are these G Leaguers doing scoring this amount of points?
Ricky Council looks good.
I missed the game. Who he's for? Who he play for?
Plays for the Sixers. Ricky Council the fourth. He played for Arkansas 2 years ago.
Okay.
And he was balling. He had 29 points.
I saw my boy Jeremy McCain doing his thing too, man. Sacramento.
Yeah, he had 15.
Yeah.
He was doing well.
I'm about to get locked into summer league though. I was stuck in the Denver airport, so I didn't get a chance to see a whole lot of stuff. But
so you're flying back.
Yes, I was flying back. Check this out. I want to know what you think about this. I talked to Jesse about it earlier, and I said DeMar DeRozan to the Sacramento Kings could be a better version of when Paul Pierce went to the Wizards. And they got to the second round. You know, he had a great moment in the playoffs, and he gave them like I don't want to use the word swagger or nothing like that, but they had an aura to him because Paul was
like
there.
An edge.
Yeah, exactly. It was the truth. Every time they needed a big shot, they still had their stars, John Wall, Bradley Beal doing their thing, but the truth was there. And it was like, oh man, like we could do some stuff. And he showed up a couple times. I think Paul Pierce was 37 at that time. He averaged 12 points a game. DeMar is going to be 35. I think DeMar is better now than Paul Pierce was at that point. But he just added a level of, like you said, toughness, some excitement, some reassurance with what he's able to do. I think they can have that type of season, and he can have that type of impact, but on a better level. What you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's a good point, especially considering that, like, DeMar's at the tail end of his career. This is probably his last big contract of his life. He's going to enjoy that, but I think he adds a level of, like, toughness. You know that you can't really screw around with DeMar.
Yeah.
Know that you've got somebody to kind of steady the ship if things get too exciting. He's been in big playoff moments before when he was with Toronto. And, you know, they always ran into the buzzsaw that was LeBron James, but they were the number one. Weren't they the number one seed in the East at one point when he was
so.
On that team?
Yeah.
And they ended up losing to LeBronto. But, I mean, they had a lot of really good teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I like that comparison. I think he'll be better than Paul Pierce. I think he can still average 20 points.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I went back and looked at the numbers. Like I said, DeMar's 34, turning 35 next month, I think. At that point, because the more I started to like look at their games are kind of similar. Paul Pierce and DeMar DeRozan, as far as like staying where they know where to be, getting to their spot whenever they want to, and being unbelievably efficient in their office where they go to work. At 34, Paul Pierce averaged 20 points a game. Now, I don't know if this is going to be the same situation for DeMar. I don't expect him to average 24. I don't know if he's going to average 20. I don't know if it's the same situation. But he's going to have that level of production here. Like, he's going to be that caliber of player that can get you, at any point, he can get you 20 to 30. But as far as averages, he might be around 19, maybe 20 a night.
How do you feel about the just the ball movement with DeMar? Do you feel like it's going to be a feeling out process in order for them to kind of get a sense of how they want to flow?
I'm preparing myself for that. I mean, it's a different style of play. He's a different type of player. There's been some good videos I've seen where, like, he would kind of fit into this Harrison mode, like where they would put Harrison a lot, and he's just better than Harrison Barnes. So, like, now when he gets the ball at the high post or something like that, he's able to just rise and fire or get to the cup or do whatever, where Harrison maybe was hesitant to do that or just isn't as skilled of a player to be able to get that done. So there's going to be some sets and some things that they do that may be seamless. But I'm preparing myself for the first 15 games of the season where they're just trying to find – everybody's trying to find their comfort spot in that offense. And I think it'll okay. One of the things that I do think is going to be super beneficial for the Kings is Sabonis is now going to be maybe your fourth option offensively. And the way he plays basketball, where he's not like, give me the ball, let me go to work, I still think I don't think his numbers will take that much of a dip. You know, he might score less points, but he's still going to rebound like crazy. But he does a lot of his stuff. Somebody dumped down to him, he finishes there. Offensive rebound, he finishes there. So I feel like he's going to get the same amount of looks and be able to do the same thing offensively. But you're not relying on him getting 21 every night, else you don't have a chance. And that's just going to help out Sabonis, and it's going to help out the Kings, where you got two guys. And yeah. I'll ask you about this, too. What you think about the starting lineup? I think Malik Monk and De'Aaron Fox should start. So that, I say that to say, you can get the starting lineup. Sabonis might be your fifth option.
Yeah, I think you're going to need some defense. And defense, so defense. Part of me thinks that Keon will be a better fit in the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. I think you have to talk to Malik about it. Honestly, because I don't think he imagined, you know, a world where DeMar was going to be here. And it came on so fast. You know, I was listening to Tim Legler right before I came on, and he said it shocked the hell out of him. So yeah. I don't know that anyone saw it coming. So you got to talk to him and see how he's feeling about the fact that he just did Sacramento a solid. He took less money to stay here. And now, and he wants to start, and now maybe he's back to the six-man role.
Yeah,
I kind of think he'd be down with it. He's going to close games. Right. That's the thing. Is Malik's always going to be a closer? I think really what you have to do is find a way to stagger some variation of Malik and DeMar, Malik and De'Aaron, De'Aaron and DeMar, so that you've got that level of offensive potency along the way. And maybe when De'Aaron comes out at like the 5 minute mark, maybe DeMar stays in for the rest of the quarter. And so the rotations are going to be really interesting, but the defense is definitely going to be a question mark because you know that Sabonis is a negative defender pretty much.
Yeah. I think he's better than people give him credit for, but he's not locked.
He's not a cone, but he's not like a tough inside presence.
I hear you.
So He's not going to rim protect like some other guys are going to rim protect if you get cooked on the perimeter. So you need some level of like perimeter fortification in order for it not just to be like a show of hoops.
I think De'Aaron is that type of guy.
De'Aaron is a much, much improved defender. Absolutely. Led the league for most of it. I think at the end of the season, he led the league in
right?
Yeah.
And I'll put Keegan in that category, too.
Yeah, Keegan's not like a super plus defender. He's not like particularly – his foot speed's not crazy. He's not like a guy who is going to lock you down at the point of attack. But he's a decent stand-your-ground defender.
I like him on the perimeter. He's kind of surprised me. He took a big leap last year with what he was able to do on the defensive end. And we'll see what he's able to do this year on the defensive end for sure. So
somebody posed a trade to ship out Kayvon for probably and maybe a pick for Isaiah Stewart. But Isaiah Stewart to me feels way too close body type to Rashawn Holmes. Like just way too close. What's the missing piece? I don't think it's Kuz. I don't think it's B.I., but like to you, what's that? Maybe it's not even a player, but what's a player type that you think helps sort of fill in the holes of this roster?
It's probably an athletic wing, right? Which is a little bit of a conundrum, right? Because I'm sold on Fox and Monk starting in the backcourt, right? But even if they don't, I think at this point in his career, DeMar DeRozan is a three more times than not. He can play two or three or defend two and three or whatever. In some cases, fours like you talked about. But if I just had to like put him in a box real quick, I'd say three at this point in his career. So do you go get just a defensive minded two that, you know, is like 6'6" or something like that? I think Keon Ellis has the opportunity to be that type of defender, right? And be an all-league type defender. I've seen the light with him. But I'm with you where I look at closing games. And whoever you go out there and get, I don't know if they're cracking that five closing lineup of Fox, Monk, DeRozan, Keegan, and Sabonis. So because of that, you probably get like maybe a little lower level guy. I've been looking at Finney Smith. You know, I feel like he's the type of guy that you can go get. And I don't know if he's going to cost you Herter or draft pick or what the Nets are trying to do. The Nets, just like the Bulls, just like everybody else, needs to be saying, to hell with this season after seeing that scrimmage footage yesterday of Cooper. Oh, man, I already knew he was the truth, but kind of looked like he had AD in hell a little bit. Damn. He had him in hell. So there ain't no need to win no games if you're Brooklyn, and they may just take whatever they want to get a guy like Finney Smith. But that's what I'm thinking about. A guy in a pinch, in a crunch, can close a game for you. But if you have all your guys there, it's not going to be an issue that he doesn't close the game.
Yeah, and if you need somebody more defensive-minded at the four, sort of 3-4 combo spot, mm-hmm. he's there. What do you think about Cam Johnson?
Oh, I love Cam Johnson. I love Cam Johnson, but see, I was talking about this with Jesse. As much as I love offense, I don't want to get like have too many offensive guys here.
Right.
My idea situation, I think Finney Smith kind of fits this. If we're talking about the corner three, I want like a knockdown shooter and a hard, grimy working guy on the defensive end. You know what I mean?
Three.
Yeah. And this guy isn't exactly that, but I'm thinking of like a Duncan Robinson type, like a guy that's just kind of hangs out around the perimeter, knows how to play basketball. Catch and shoot, knock it down. He'll work on the defensive end. You don't want to get him ISO'd because then you might be in trouble. But he works
he'll
on. Yeah, yeah, he's a good team defender, right? He understands team defense principles. So not necessarily Duncan Robinson, but a guy like that. Finney Smith, I think, fits that pretty good.
Yeah, that's a good call. I'm fascinated to see if anything else transpires.
They said money's still making calls. I would love Cam Johnson. You think Cam Johnson would be all right coming off the bench?
Yes. I have it on good authority that Cam Johnson would love to live in a small town.
Mm-hmm.
Like to live in more of a – I was told literally yesterday, all the places that free agents want to go, mm-hmm. Miami, New York, L.A., Dallas, Houston – Cam is like, I am not about that.
Mm.
I do not want 5-lane freeways. I do not want all these damn people. I do not want all this damn attention. I just want to do normal stuff and live in like the kind of a small town.
Well, come on, man. Come on. We here in Sacramento. Like I said, we're already advocating for less and less people to come here because we don't want people are getting upset about Gilbert Arenas or whatever. I said, no, Gilbert, continue to say that this place stinks. So people don't come here. We already got too many people coming here. So
I don't even understand that comment either. It just feels like a guy who is salty because his baby mama like it had some real, like, the energy of it was way too aggressive for that not to be personal.
he did. He was like kicking the ground when he said he's stomping his feet. Like, he was upset. I chalked it up, Trista. Gil is just a loser when it comes to basketball. Very skilled. You could say he's a winner at life because he's very rich. He played in the NBA and all this other stuff. I'm not talking about him personally. I'm talking about basketball. He's just a loser. He's a loser. He was never, like, you never looked at Gilbert and said, yo, this guy, he's trying to win. No.
No, he was trying to get his bread. Have you ever seen, I'm sure you've seen this. I know you've never done it because it's a loser move. When, like, a guy tries to holler at a girl and she's not paying them any mind. And he's like, hey, girl, what's your name? And then she walks away. And he's like, F you, bitch.
Oh, that's Gil.
I didn't want you anyway, you ugly asshole. And you're like, that's Gilbert Arenas to Sacramento.
that's facts. That's perfect.
That was the end. You're like, what happened to you in Sacramento? He's like, all the girls there are ugly. And you're like, did they all reject you? What?
That is perfect. He had a bad experience here in Sacramento. That's exactly what happened. TK, after the experience that I had over the yesterday, I'm definitely going to have to Venmo you some money.
I know
I'm going to need you to go to the MGM real quick. Yeah.
You look like you got a little DMV tan too. Your chocolate level went up.
That's what Miss P said. I guess so. You know what I'm saying? I'm just out here doing what I got to do out here, you know, on D-Lo in KC. That's all I'm doing.
Where is D-Lo anyway? Where he go?
He's on vacation. Champagne and campaigning. Yeah, it's just me. But
just,
TK.
Just on got his toes in the beach.
That's it, man. Champagne with a nice drink in his hand, I'm sure. Yeah. So
nice.
TK,
well, I'll see y'all next Tuesday. I'll be in Vegas.
I was about to ask you, you going to Summer League, so you'll be there next week.
Yep, I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I'm going to go see Team USA, Team Canada tomorrow night.
Oh, they play each other tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, Team Canada plays Team USA.
Oh,
yes,
lit.
Sir.
It is lit. Okay. All right, well, I know you're going to see everybody while you're out there, so we definitely going to have to know what's going on in Vegas.
I'll let you know. Kill them.
Take care, TK. Just a quick BetMGM tonight and the Heat Check podcast, the real Heat Check podcast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.